Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello guys, welcome to a new episode of the Partido a Partido podcast, where we talk everything and anything. It's been a while since we recorded an episode, but we are finally back before the season kicks off, and we are going to talk about a lot of things ranging from how last season was and to how this season is about to be. So joining me on today's episode is a friend of mine. I'm sure you guys know him on Twitter as La Liga System, and his name is Vishal. So Vishal, welcome to the Partido a Partido podcast.
Yeah, hey man, great to be here, man. I've been following you guys for a while. Every single time I want some quotes after a game from Simeone or some of the players, I tend to go to your page. So, and also, yeah, the podcast is, I mean, on Twitter, I'm talking about the Twitter page, but yeah, I mean, the podcast is great to follow, and very, very happy to be on and talk about some athletic stuff with you, man.
Oh, so thanks for accepting the invite, and how are you doing?
Yeah, all good, dude. All good today. It's been a bit of a long day, so I'm looking forward to just talk some football at the end of it. So, yeah.
Okay, so, like you guys know, Vishal is very vocal of his love for Simeone, and despite the fact he's a Real Madrid fan, kind of have a respect for Atleti, which is great. Because, you know, as Atleti fan and Atleti, this Atleti podcast, we're going to be talking about Atleti, and Vishal is well-versed in La Liga, and he has been following Atleti for a while because of how he respects what Simeone has come to achieve at Atleti, which is kind of great and admirable coming from a Real Madrid fan.
I started really liking what Diego Simeone did. Well, I mean, I've always been a Real Madrid fan, which means it's sort of ingrained in me to not like Barcelona. So when you guys took the title away from Barcelona in 2014, it was just brilliant. I was just so happy. Back then, I wasn't analyzing or understanding football, so to speak, but I was just quite impressed that, hey, it's been a while. What is this team that's not called Real Madrid or Barcelona that's on the top, right? So, and yeah, at that point, I hadn't been watching for too long. I'd say I started watching Real Madrid when Jose Mourinho came in. So, maybe 3-4 years before that. So, yeah, like, it was so impressive that I just couldn't help but pay attention to what was going on. And if you look at the next 5-6 years extending to today, the influence he's had on the league and how he's, I would say, taught the league to play the big two, right? I mean, that's been a problem. The scorelines in that decade used to be crazy when Madrid faced Barcelona. Now they're more pragmatic and more practical. They know what they're good at, what they're bad at. And I would give a lot of credit of that to Simeone. I mean, I think his influence has been too big for me to not respect him. So, yeah, I've not only do I respect Atleti, I've come to appreciate them genuinely, even though I'm a Real Madrid fan. And I follow them like I would follow a second team, for example. So, yeah, like that, that's how much I like you guys. So, I know I'm a Real Madrid fan, but I really like following you.
Well, that's great to see. Maybe one day we convert you from the enemy side, and then you can cross the line and come to the promised land. That'll be fantastic. Okay, so, Vishal, like you have said, Simeone has had an impact in La Liga, especially when he won La Liga. Winning La Liga in the Messi and Ronaldo era is kind of something that many don't really see or many underappreciate, because that was fantastic. And though the Barca has done like a lot has contributed a lot to, like, let's not say Tebas, but the new rules which came in place have done a lot to contribute in the stability in La Liga. And then we are not now so familiar with score lines like in the Messi Ronaldo era, where we had the 7-1s, the 6-0s, and the rest. And despite the fact that tightening the financial fair play rules kind of made people or made teams to be more aware of how they spend and more cautious, I think Simeone also winning La Liga kind of had an impact on the league. And like you said, teams become more defensive and teams are like, okay, so this is how, if you want to win Barca and Real, then you have to play. Though there are some exceptions with the likes of Villarreal, but Simeone influence is great. So diving into some of the things we are going to be talking about today, we are going to start talking about Atleti's last season, because we all know Atleti kind of had two halves of the season, because the first was like black and the second was like white. When I say black, it wasn't so great before the World Cup, but after the turn of the new year, you kind of have a lot of things which change for Atleti's favor. So Vishal, what do you think happened that things turn around? Because it's like after the World Cup with the same players, everything just changed.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. Like, I don't remember seeing a half season like that from Atleti. I mean, maybe there have been periods where they've trailed off, but I think with every game, it was almost alarming, I felt, you know? Like, I think I felt that because, again, like, I appreciate the club, right? So I'm watching every game from Atleti's perspective, I'll put it that way. And it was really worrying to see. Like, I remember this one game against Celta Vigo where Simeone finally said, okay, let's try going back to the 4-4-2. And the first 15 minutes, I think, was the worst defensive shift I've seen from an Atletico side ever. Like, it was like, I don't know, I think Jimenez, Hermoso, they were all on the pitch, but it was like they forgot what they were doing fundamentally. And it was just unexplainable. And I think in the same way, what happened after the World Cup is also just as unexplainable. I feel like if you sort of see and read what's happening in the dressing room from what Simeone has been saying or from what the players have been saying, it's typical Atleti, right? Like they somehow used that World Cup period to regroup, then got a few wins on the under their belt, and that's all you need, right? Like on some level, I feel like Atleti reminds me of like Rafael Nadal in tennis. Like if the crowd's behind him, the situation stuff. If you get that one moment of self-belief, it's like the whole squad knows what to do. And I don't know how much Simeone changed between like the black period and the white period, as you put it. Like not too much fundamentally, I would say. I would say more players were fit, especially in the back line. That was a huge issue in the first half. That helped. But also they just came back to form just as inexplicably as they were suddenly really bad for half the season. So I don't know what to explain. I mean, even the European performances come into this, of course. But yeah, I don't know how to explain it per se. It just looks like they got that Cholismo back that we keep talking about, right? Like it's not something you can measure with stats, not something that there's a number for, not something you can explain too much. But the fact that the squad suddenly is playing better together, understanding each other better, defending better for sure, right? And so many consecutive wins you guys had after the World. So nothing I can explain in concrete terms. It just feels like the squad got sort of together again. And they just did the thing where they had that self-belief. And then they just pushed through with the fans and everything as usual. So yeah, that's just my take on that sort of weird season, which like you said, was completely half, like literally split into half, right? Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, like you said, it was tough to explain because tactically it was really bad. I recall the Celta game, which Atleti, I think at home, Atleti won, but it was really, really not really the best performances. And then you have the game against Levante, I think, which Atleti's midfield was non-existent. And you have so many of those games because it was kind of tough understanding what is going on. But after the January transfer windows and you had some players left, but not so many came in. And then, like you said, the squad got together. You have some players coming from the World Cup with form, and then you have the World Cup winners, and that kind of changed things because that black period was really bad because you kind of see things like, who's going to replace Simeone in the summer? Is this his last year? Is he coming to an end? And then he kind of reinvented himself because Atleti kind of played like a typical South American team, which was great because Atleti was like one of the fun teams to watch in the second part of the season. If you were not watching them, then I think you missed a lot because it was really, really great. And one of the issues Atleti faced was the fact that the center back was an issue because you kind of had Witzel playing there, even though he started the first game of the season against Getafe and played there very well. But now you have Jose Maria, who is currently injured now and will be out for a month. So you basically miss the start of the season. He was in and out with his usual injuries because kind of Atleti may play like 40 games or more than 40 games a season and he doesn't play up to half of that. Then you also have Savic, which is injury. So Atleti were kind of lacking depth in some areas. Like in midfield, you have just Koke playing as the holding midfielder, despite the fact you have Kondogbia, but Kondogbia was not really a great season, but there were some games in which he performed really well. And then Atleti were just like, you have a football team of, I mean, I don't want to put the word team there because they were like individuals on the pitch, but now after the World Cup, they became individuals. So what are those areas from last season? Or let me say those areas from last season where you felt like maybe if Atleti had one or two players there to show up in terms of quality, that you think Atleti were lacking?
Oh yeah, I mean, 100%, my first thing would be the center backs. I think that's the only thing I was tweeting about because for Atleti, that's so important, right? Like, in the sense that the ball only goes back up because, like, there's a ball there on the front. So much of the chance creation is, okay, transition based. Like, we've obviously seen different versions of Simeone, but I felt like they were individually so bad, right? Like, just positioning everything to the extent, like you mentioned, where I felt like genuinely for the first 2-3 months, Witzel was your best center back. Like, in the center of the pitch, I genuinely thought Axel Witzel was the best center back at Atleti for, I think, 2 or 3 months, because the others were just really below par in terms of reading the game, understanding. Like, it was like suddenly looking at a team that didn't know how to defend anymore. So center backs, like, I don't think any other position was even remotely as bad as the defense was for that period of the season. Champions League campaign, I mean, group stage, so many goals like they conceded, you know, especially at crucial times. Just not what we're used to seeing. Like, we're used to seeing them hold on. And okay, they might score soon, they might score later, but like, if that's not set, you will see an Atleti team struggle. And I don't think Simeone's team struggle as much to figure out as much as they did in the first half. I think much better than I would as a neutral. But yeah, I think last season was genuinely weird. Like, one of the main things I tweeted was, okay, new center back. Like, that is
all
I'd say, more than anything else.
Well, like you mentioned, that was a position everybody wanted reinforcement because you kind of have Witzel, who dead in his prime was one of the best midfielders around, and now he comes to Atleti and he has to fill in a centre-back, and he's not the most mobile player despite the fact that he kind of ate Atleti in ball progression given what he possesses on the ball, which is fantastic, but Atleti lacked guys who could defend in the absence of Jimenez, and even when he returned, he wasn't really at his best. But like we said, in the second of the season, it's like everything changed. Atleti became a team, and everything seems to be progressing. Last season, we have talked about the center back. We are going to get into the signings, but before that, just to mention those players who Atleti had alone, because 2 seasons ago on the podcast, we were like, the Atleti loan system isn't the best because you have players who be loaned to Getafe, like Molejo, for example, and maybe after 6 months, he's been transferred to another club. So it wasn't really, really great. But now Atleti kind of have a system which is great because you kind of have players spending 1 or 2 years in the Segunda, and then after that, you have them coming up to the Primera. For those listening, Segunda is La Liga 2, that is the second division. And then Primera, you have La Liga itself, which is now La Liga EA Sports. So last season, Athletic had two very good players in La Liga on loan, which is Rodrigo Riquelme was at Girona. I think Girona was one of the favorite teams. You watched last season and you kind of tweeted, were vocal about it on your Twitter page. Then you have Camilo, who was playing for Andoni Iraola's Rayo. Andoni Iraola is now the coach of Bournemouth in the Premier League. And we are all crying that because he is one of the best young coaches in the world at the moment, in my opinion. And last season, he did a fantastic job with Rayo. Not just last season, but the last three seasons, he was at Rayo. And then you have other players on loan, like Joe Simeone, who was at Zaragoza. You had Borja Garcias, who was at Tenerife, along with Yann Molejo at Zaragoza. Then you had... Lino at Valencia, and I think those are kind of the players who kind of stood up. So, Vishal, from your observation of last season, which Aleti Loni kind of impressed you the most, and which Loni do you think should be part of the first team this season?
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head. Like last season, even though the football was terrible, but even in that first half, like there were two great things that were happening for Atleti. One was that the Lonis were doing great, and two was the transfer market, which I understand, again, from a fan's perspective, it might be different. But from a neutral perspective, you guys had just skimmed the market by half of the season. More than half of that was skimming Barcelona, I guess. And then even now, I think you guys have been really smart about it. So that was one thing that was going well. The other thing, like you mentioned, was the loan stuff. So Riquelme and Lino were the two that stood out for me. Camello, I guess, towards later half of the season, was also like getting into the conversation as well. Riquelme has been excellent at Girona. I watched a lot of Girona, like you said, like very enjoyable team to watch. So I ended up watching a lot of them last season. And Riquelme has done so, so well. Like, I think he's really, really hit his stride towards the second half as well. Especially in the second half, I think we saw some excellent qualities. Like, he would just drive ahead with the ball. Very, very fearless 1v1 and very direct, which is something I always like to see in players who are trying to play for Atletico Madrid, because Simeone does want really fast and fluid forward motion. So I like that. By the second half of the season, I really felt like he'd sort of reduced that rate of him sort of hanging around on the ball and trying to do too much in a static way. And then in the second half, he was just sort of pushing forward, right? And that is what I really liked about Lino in the first half of the season, where he was playing under Gattuso, where, I mean, the football was really good for a while, until he left, of course. And he was same sort of trail, which is very direct. He was just pushing forward. I think kind of like Vinicius Jr. does, like relentless, you know, like just creating chances or getting into space, getting into dangerous positions. So he was very, very enjoyable to watch first half of the season. Then Valencia sort of, I don't know, whatever happened as usual. Then the whole stability of the team took a toss. And then, I don't know. I don't think we saw as much of him consistently anymore. But when there was a system there, I could definitely say there was a player there. So I think either of those players are great additions to have, especially if you're looking to move on from Carrasco, which I don't know what's happening with that. Like, 1 month, it's like, okay, he's gone. Next month, he's like, okay, Simeone loves him. He wants him to stay. So in case that's happening, I think either of them fill up that role really well, or even in forward spaces. I think that's what I like about both of them, which is you throw them in front of the pitch as well. In case, for example, Morata's leaving, it would work there as well. Riquelme would drop in what Griezmann would vacate, just in theory, right? Griezmann drops really deep, and Riquelme could help with pushing from there. So both of these players add value because over the season they've become, or already are in the case of Lino, very, very Simeone type players on the ball. Off the ball, I'm sure Simeone will do his work, and both of them seem committed enough to not like complain about it and stuff like that. They genuinely want to play for the club. So either of them is a great bet, dude. If you want me to choose one, I would pick Samuel Lino because that's what I picked halfway through the season. And I still think what I saw is a really good Atletico Madrid player. I didn't get a chance to watch the friendly, but you told me he was great on that game. So, yeah, I mean, you can claim it about that.
It seems at the moment, Lino, according to the rumors, Lino looks like the guy who's going to stay, or we never know what is going to happen with the transfer window. So let's see what happens. And you kind of mentioned Riquelme and how good he is. And I think that backs Cholo's words after the friendly. Cholo was like, Riquelme is fast. And despite the fact he just joined recently, he's in good condition. Riquelme provides depth. He beats the ball well. He's a smart player that can play in multiple positions and he's still growing as a footballer. That last statement, growing as a footballer, kind of makes me think Simeone, like, if Riquelme stays, then he's going to have a very minor role and a role in which he will need to grow in it. And I don't know if he will be happy growing up, like improving the other aspect of his game while sitting on a latest bench and maybe having averagely, let's say, 20 minutes. I don't know, but I prefer him to go out on another loan and then do well from there. Well, as for Lino, Lino had a very great game, like I told you. And in the game, I think the game kind of showed Atleti fans what to expect from Lino, because what Lino thrived in was his associativity with his teammates. The give and goes, the like 10-man runs, I give, I make a run, and all those type of things. So his associativity kind of brought out the best of Lima, the link up of Lima, Griezmann, and those around him, which was great. But now the issue was compared with Carrasco, who in my opinion is one of the best dribblers in the world, despite his inconsistency. I think we all, be it La Liga fans or Atleti fans, can remember the Espanyol game, which we can boastfully say he single-handedly won it for us with his dribbling. The issue is that in the game, when Lino had 1v1 chances, Lino kind of opted for associativity, even though there were times in which he attempted to dribble, which was great. But we kind of showed us these are two players, but despite their similarities, they are kind of different. And another thing I think Cholo has always mentioned about Lino, which I think goes under the radar a lot, at Valencia and why he was in Portugal. One of the things he did was, as a winger, he kind of tracked back, which is great. Now, the issue is, Atleti has Lino, and which Lino can play as a left wing back, have Carrasco left wing back, and then Atleti bought Galan. So now the issue is, we have three players for one position. How would that sort out? Because those are three players with three distinct similarities and less, but we will see. And Rodrigo, going back to Rodrigo Riquelme, Roro, he came on in the game and played as a second striker, which kind of also gave me hints of the fact that he won't be staying at Atleti, and I hope Atleti don't say him and Atleti send him out on loan. But now the question is, even when he comes back for the 2024-25 season, is there going to be space for him? Because, you know, in Girona, he played out wide and at times he played centrally. Because I was thinking he can stay as a substitute role with playing as an interior, and because despite the fact that he is direct, he has the qualities, like Cholo said, can play in different positions. He has the qualities to thrive as an interior with his dribbling, and he, despite the fact that he has to add a little bit of pulsar to his game, like you said, he was too direct, which would be fantastic. As for Cameo, I don't think there is space for him at Atleti, because you have Morata there, and even if Morata leaves, you have links of Atleti going for another center forward, which I think isn't bad, but I just hope Morata stays at this case, because it seems like Atleti don't have the funds to kind of go for that forward which can kind of elevate the team or take the team kind of to the next level. Well, with the transfer window, you never know, so we are going to wait and see. So I mentioned Galan. Galan is one of the new signings along with Azpilicueta and Mourinho. So Mourinho is a Uruguayan center back, and the club is still undecided what the club is going to do with him, because it seems like the plan is for him to go out on loan, but with Jose Maria's injury, things might change. And with Galan, most La Liga fans know him, and if you are an Atleti fan, you don't know about Galan. He's a fantastic player, one of the best dribblers in La Liga. He's very good at covering ground. He has an engine, and he's solid defensively, so kind of better than Carrasco defensively, because he is a left back, and his qualities in the left wing back will just be great, and we are going to dive into him. So, Vishal, I'm going to ask you, what is your opinion on the new signings Atleti have made to shore up the defense, because we know Atleti need another holding midfielder, but that's still not decided yet. But Aleti has Aspilicueta on the books, Aleti has Galan, and Aleti has Mourinho. What's your opinion on those three guys?
Yeah, I think, we were talking about reinforcing centre backs, but also full backs, right? So that kind of was the whole problem of last year was, which is since Trippier left, what's happening on the right, right? And Lodi randomly went to Nottingham Forest. Not that I hold him in that high regard, but again, what happens to left back? So Carrasco sort of filled, but Carrasco didn't. It didn't have like a consistent season like most of the squad, to be very fair. So I think that fullback slash wingback role is really interesting. What you're talking about, associated play with Lino, that you were saying he showed in that preseason game, I think that kind of plays the signature of Simeone. I think Simeone and Ancelotti are more similar than people might think in how they like to think about how their attackers play with each other. So that wing-back or full-back becomes really important for that kind of thing, especially building up from deep. And Javi Galán is perfect for that, I think, because he's got great technique. He can find passes from deep, but he can also push forward, keep driving. And like you said, insane dribbler, insane ball carrier. Most of us probably remember seeing that stats board where he had more dribbles than Messi at some point in La Liga, I think for the whole season. And as one was saying, okay, who is this guy from Huesca, right? So, yeah, I mean, ever since then, like, we've all just had to become fans of him. Great signing, 10 out of 10. For 5 million, that's a joke, I would say. So, amazing, amazing. As usual, this is what I was referring to earlier. Transfer market, you guys are, like, killing it. Aspilicueta, I don't know. I don't watch a lot of Premier League, I'll say that. So, I don't know how he's got on, right? So, I know what kind of player he is, what kind of profile he is. If he can slot in at right centre back or even as a backup to Molina at right back or right wing back, whatever. Maybe he can do all of that. But I don't know how he's got on. From what I hear, okay, maybe he's gotten a bit leggy and stuff. But okay, I don't think you're expecting him to start every single game and become an integral member of the 11 or anything. So maybe as a depth option, maybe not too bad. Like, we'll see how he does in games, then assess his level, because he'll be playing a completely different kind of football at Atleti as well than he has been in the Premier League, which is really, really sort of faster paced. So, yeah, we'll see how he adjusts to the pace of the league, to what Simeone wants, and then maybe we'll make a call on that. Mourinho, I don't have much context on, I will say, but I did see a compilation from the friendly, I guess. I was pleasantly surprised by how well he was playing on the ball. Not something I expected. I don't know why. Like I said, I have noticed too much of him. But yeah, that was pretty nice to see. Like, I don't know if that's suddenly a thing Atletico is also trying to get in their scouting people in centre backs, which is very interesting, right? Like, when you think ball playing centre backs, you're just thinking Pep Guardiola or Arteta or somebody, maybe Xavi, right? But no, you look at Witzel, Hamoso, and now this kid also is really sort of. I liked how generally smart and simple he kept it. And also forward facing, which is very important. So not too much insight on the last two, I would say, but very happy with Galan. Well, like you said, I would like for him to stay because of what you said, Jimenez keeps getting injured. And also, at this point, I don't know if I trust the existing centre-backs to pull through an entire season without dropping off like they did. Like, okay, it happened early last season. But okay, maybe you guys go on a great run for 10, 15 games and suddenly something happens, level drops, somebody gets injured. So as far as centre-back goes, I would say definitely if you can have depth, keep him, right? But yeah, that's sort of my take on that.
Well, like you said, you never know because Aleti has centre-backs with injury record, which is not the best, and for the Aspilicueta signing, I wasn't really a fan of it because I wanted Arnau Martinez because he has the same versatility. He can play as a right center back and can also play as right wing back, which is something I wanted. But with Aspilicueta, from what I've seen in training and from what I've seen with the way the players are reacting, he kind of brings a positive energy, a positive vibe to the team, which is nice. And Aliti also has someone with a captaincy or one of the leaders of the dressing room, because he came from Chelsea where he was the captain, obviously. And you know, Aliti has a lot of hot heads. I think one of the Aliti took a lot of cuts last season and the season prior by like arguing with the referee. So he kind of have one of the leaders, which is great, like bringing a leader figure. Despite the fact I wasn't a fan, but I've been impressed with what I saw in the first preseason game and with how I've seen how he creates like a positive mood, which is kind of great because Aliti really needs that. And like you said, for Mourinho, you don't know what to expect, but coming from Uruguay, there's a lot of like positive news from there, as he is a very solid center back. And when you think of Mourinho coming very young, kind of say, okay, can he be the next Jose Jimenez? Not like putting pressure on him that he's going to be Jimenez, but kind of Aliti kind of spend very few money on, that's around 500k for Jose Ma, so kind of expecting he's going to be that, and hopefully he stays. Now Aliti signed Soyuncu in January, and now he officially became a player this summer. But now the issue is, why Soyuncu was at Leicester, he kind of had, I think, the best time of his career, but he had an injury which kind of set him back. So on Soyuncu, do you think he can go to the next level, or he is going to regain that him, his the self, which we saw that Leicester, where he drives from center back with the ball, he was solid defending, putting his body on the line. Do you think we are going to see that version of Soyuncu, given Cholo's record with improving players defensively?
Yeah, I think that's what we have to sort of bet on, right? Like, which is the fact that when somebody comes into Atletico, you might expect, and especially into Spain, because for defense, like, you tend to sort of, let's say, when you think of a Simeone team and stuff, like, if a defender is positionally sound and understands the area around him and when he has to push and stay back, and that's something that can be coached as well, then you can expect an improvement in their performance than what might be going on in the Premier League, which in comparison does not care as much about, let's say, defensive structure and organization, and definitely not as much as Simeone would. So, again, I would say that is the bet we are placing. Like, I know what you're referring to with regards to Soyuncu, but like, I was personally, like you said, with Arnau Martinez, I was hoping that the centre-back spot would be filled by somebody ideal for the spot and not somebody with whom you're like, okay, fine, let's hope Simeone improves him, right? So, yeah, like, the Arnau Martinez thing, even I was sort of hoping that would happen, because I was also worried he would go to Barcelona, which still is my concern as well. So, yeah, but I mean, I also thought he'd be great on the Diego. But yeah, that's what I have to say about Soyuncu, which is, like, especially during when the times were tough, and times can get tough again, because the centre back, I mean, all the centre backs are not getting any younger, right? So if that happens again, I would rather have... So, no, imagine you have, for example, David Garcia there, who you can trust, right, from Osasuna. Just an example. Then you can trust him to sort of ride out those tough periods in games. But now you have to hope that Simeone has found someone who he can increase his level, and then he'll be the face of stability in case a Jimenez gets injured, for example. So I would like put like a very, very light question mark there, like, let's see how it goes type thing on Soyuncu. But yeah, I would be cautiously optimistic, because like you said, I mean, Simeone will have an effect on him, and if he does have his positional sense sorted, then he shouldn't have too hard a time like figuring out which duels he has to get into. So yeah,
like you mentioned, those are some of the concerns everyone was having, because they are like, Aliti has spent well on, Aliti's signings have been good, but Aliti are playing the Champions League, so what is going to happen? Soyuncu, he just coming off an injury, but his last few games in Leicester before he came off to Aliti were kind of good. So there's a question mark. We don't know what to expect. And it's a free transfer, so it's kind of a bargain. And I would say win-win, because even if he doesn't perform, I believe Aliti can sell him off for some cash to a Turkish club like the Galatasaray or the Fenerbahce. So we have talked about Azpilicueta, talk about Galan, which I am expecting a lot of from him, because about Galan, one of the things I'm expecting from him is those runs in behind, something I don't think Carrasco has, because Carrasco is more of a ball-to-feet player, but with Galan, you kind of have a fullback who can come to the ball, who can go away from the ball, who can make runs behind. I think it's a training video which kind of like went viral between Atleti fans, where you have Griezmann clipping the ball and you have now Galan making a run in behind, and which led to a goal which was for Morata, which was fantastic. So those are some of the things we want to see, because you know the current setup, like because I believe Cholo is going to continue the current setup. The current setup kind of entails that we have the right hand side with which Molina, who is out injured, and luckily for Atleti, Atleti signed Azpilicueta. He's the one filling the right back. And as for Molina, he did not travel with the team and he might be injured for a while. It's not certain when he will be back, but the injury is not that serious, which will take so long. So I'm expecting him to be back around the start of the season. So for the right-hand side of Atleti, you kind of have that intricate build-up, link-up, and then you have maybe Molina underlapping or overlapping and kind of have that association. On the left now, what Atleti usually does is they create 1v1s for Carrasco, which he then thrives on that. But like we said last season, Carrasco struggled a bit, which kind of also affected the system. But now, I want to ask this question. With Lino being a good dribbler and same for Galan, I want to ask, do you think that Lino and Galan are good associating with their teammates than Carrasco? So I want to ask, do you think with those two, maybe because Carrasco has a small knock, which is the reason why he did not feature in the preseason game against the K-League All-Stars, in which Atleti lost, by the way. So do you think with Lino and Galan, Cholo is going to change maybe the approach a little bit? Because with Lino, we saw, despite the fact that he was created 1v1, he kind of delayed a bit and kind of pulled his teammates and then he created chances. But now, Azpilicueta was kind of the one making runs into space, given that the play was kind of towards the left a bit. So do you think with Galan and Lino, and not Carrasco, Cholo is going to change things a bit?
Yeah, they bring very, very different things to the table. Like you said, they activate a different kind of play itself. So I think the fact that Cholo has made these signings suggests that, okay, if Galan plays, like you said, if we have a pattern of like all of that midfield stuff around Koke going on, then you have Galan running off on one side, going in. And I think he's the most accurate crosser in the league. Somebody sent me that today. I was talking about Frank Garcia today, and he was fourth on the list. I think Galan was number one for crossing accuracy. That's something I didn't expect either, for some reason. But that's great, right? Like, if he's taking those wide spaces, which I'm pretty sure he will. And the thing is, he takes them up in a very different way from Carrasco, who, yeah, like you said, he's a bit of a ball hogger. Like, he likes sort of having the ball and maybe like taking the tempo of the game down a little bit, which I personally don't like in a Simeone system. I like in a Simeone, like an ideal Simeone player on the ball for me just either keeps pushing forward or just finds a man around him who will be very close by definition, because that's how well he's coached it. Somebody around him, immediately find him, and then you push off forward, right? Somebody who does that within 2-3 seconds, I think that's a good Simeone player for me. And I think Lino, if you're saying he fits that bill, that's great. Because at Valencia, he had to do a lot more, but now he has so many players. And players who will always be, I think, right around him, because that's how Simeone coaches his on-the-ball structure the moment they recover the ball. So, yeah, I think somebody like Carrasco is, like, for me, if he's doing well, great. But if he's not, it kind of affects the team. And with Lino last season, the one complaint that a lot of Valencia fans had was his finishing and maybe in front of goal performance. So with Lino, if you will have problems there, I feel like what he'll solve is all the problems before that, which is the left side. If some, like Griezmann or anybody, like, to be honest, whoever's going to be around Koke, whoever's around in that net, Galan and Lino are players who have the technique, A, but also they like to execute, they like to move. Galan especially likes to play make. Like he's a playmaking left back at Celta. Like everything, he started everything. He would start moves and then he would just push off and then be the wide man. So all of that kind of thing will definitely add up to better things. I'm actually pretty confident about that. And I'm really looking forward to it as well. So yeah.
Well, like you said, at Celta Vigo, Galan kind of play mix, which is great because at Atleti, you know, the build-up kind of starts from the left-hand side and then in the attack, it ends up at the right-hand side. So it's kind of great because Atleti are going to have a lot of threat from both sides. Because last season, if you take out Carrasco, you have who comes in, Reguilon. He came in January and doesn't have a lot of fitness. But now you have, okay, Carrasco has been at defenders, like, let's say, for 60 minutes and then kind of take him off. And then you have Lino, you have Galan coming at you. So it's kind of great to see that Atleti, depending on who plays at fullback or who plays at wingback, Atleti have different things. And I think Galan is going to have a good time playing next to him also. But I think he would have had a fantastic time playing with someone like Savic behind him. Not saying Savic should start playing the left centre-back, but someone who can give him that defensive reassurance that yes, you can go ahead and I'm going to cover everything. We know Hermoso's liability, his weaknesses in defense, but he has improved as the team improved, and I think he can only get better. As he himself said, as he gets older each season, you will see a better version of himself. So we have touched on the players Atleti has signed and how they can fit in tactically. And as far as Pellegrini, I still believe he has some offensive prowess in him despite his age and despite the fact that he is not a very attacking fullback or a wing back in the case given he'll be playing a right wing back at Atleti, but there are things I think he can still associate given because he has played with this, not just an assumption, but he played under Tuchel and he has played under a lot of coaches at Chelsea who kind of implemented his jogo de position, which means on the ball he is decent because despite the change of coaches, he still played some games and that was fantastic. So I'm thinking he's going to like improve the build up on the right hand side because in the game which Atleti played against the K-League All-Stars, one of the things I was impressed was you have the flow going towards like from the goalkeeper to the center back, then to maybe the full back. And when he came with him, I can remember with Molina, this is not like a criticism. You have maybe a pass into the half space to Depaul, or you kind of try to pick out the run of Morata, but with him, he kind of like assessed the play and then the play instead turned and came to midfield to Koke and then Atleti kind of retained the ball, which is something Atleti are doing at the moment. I think from the game, there's a video in which the K-League All-Star team were like pressing Atleti and then you have some intricate passing and then Atleti kind of beat the press, which was fantastic. I enjoyed that. Yes, despite the fact it's truly small, but that was great to see. So moving on, Vishal, we need to talk about the holding midfield position because Kondogbia is no more. Witzel came in to be a holding midfielder, but it seems Cholo prefer him at the defense. I myself, I don't prefer him in midfield because I can recall the Seville game which Atleti were running riot at the Wanda Metropolitano and Papissa's goal was kind of a hint of the decline of Witzel. He's lost his legs and you have those run for midfields are things I will not want happening when Witzel is in midfield because if those happen, you are half a guarantee that that can be a goal because you have a midfielder not tracking his runner. So Atleti has been linked with a lot of profiles this summer transfer window for a holding midfielder, but it seems Højbjerg is the closest. I don't prefer Højbjerg because I think the current version of Højbjerg is like a box-to-box midfielder or in Atleti's current system as an interior. That's one of the midfielders either side of Koke, because he is fantastic at that, going up the pitch and down. I think we have a similar player in Llorente to him. I'm not saying they are the same, but similar in the functionality they are going to have within the system. So you also have Amrabat. So, Richard, if I'm to ask him, who do you think Atleti to go for the holding midfield position? Because there were things about Roca, but I didn't know one Roca. Like some Atleti fans were suggesting, yes, the Roca ship has sailed away, but we can come back. Luckily, he went to Betis, which I think is a good environment for him. But if I'm to ask you, who should Atleti go for this summer transfer window, taking into consideration that Atleti have limited funds, but if Atleti can make a big sale, that's for Joao Felix, which we'll talk about later on, then they can have the funds for the holding midfield position. So I've mentioned Højbjerg and I've mentioned Amrabat. Those are the two options. And Amrabat is someone I want Atletico to sign, given not just his World Cup performance, but what he can also bring in terms of ball recycling, which is something similar to what Koke offers.
Yeah. So I agree with your initial points, like especially the Witsel thing, like he's not a midfielder. And especially since I thought he played pretty well at centre-back when he had to. I thought he was the only centre-back that was holding on in that first part to the best of his ability. So, yeah, like that means there is a hole there. Kondogbia, I'm not sure why it didn't work out. I thought he was the perfect Simeone player. In theory, he had to improve his on-the-ball decision-making. That's what I felt like. And from watching him at Atleti as well, I felt that. But yeah, for whatever reason, I mean, I guess it didn't work out. But coming to replacements, Højbjerg was somebody I watched very closely. So I think I mentioned that I became a Madrid fan during the Jose Mourinho era. So I also became a Jose Mourinho fan during the Jose Mourinho era at Real Madrid. So I ended up following him everywhere. And Tottenham was one of those places. And yeah, like, Højbjerg was one of Mourinho's first signings. And I immediately understood why he signed him, because what he offered, it was like watching some version of Matic, like Mourinho's perfect Nemanja Matic, who does all of the dirty work, and if he gets the ball, he will just find a forward pass, right? So Højbjerg was pretty good at things like ball recycling, what you mentioned at Tottenham. There was a shortage at that point of midfielders from deep at Tottenham who could do this consistently and also do all the other stuff without the ball effectively. So I thought Højbjerg's first season at Spurs was very impressive. But since Jose left, I haven't kept up with him too much. But I think he's definitely like a very underrated player. And I think he'd be a good signing for a side like Atletico Madrid. So I think that is what seems to be more likely for now. I don't know. I'm just going by news. It can't be trusted at all. Coming to Amrabat, yeah, I agree with you totally. It's just, yeah, it's not just that he defends, but also he does like to take command of possession, which I think is good because only Koke does that for now, only, I would say, right? So, like I said, I think Højbjerg also does that to a good level, but I don't think he is like a single pivot or anything like that. But Amrabat maybe can be. As a replacement for Kondogbia, either of these are a total upgrade on the ball, without a doubt. And off the ball, I mean, Kondogbia has had many games where he's just popped off and he's made some 18, 20 recoveries in one game. So, like, I don't know. Kondogbia had very, very peaks and lows type of situation. So, yeah, but both of them kind of like that doing the work off the ball. I would say I like Højbjerg's option off the ball a bit more because just what I saw back then, I would rate it on, and what a little I've seen of Tottenham since then. But I do think like Højbjerg is an underrated name, which I would actually be happy with, and I would be curious to see how that works out, because I think he fits like if in like a hypothetical situation to do what Koke would do, maybe not at that same technical level, maybe not the same level of tempo control, but in the sense that Simeone would like to have a midfielder who has an eye for passes, who will just keep the moves flowing or just find the guy right next to him. He can do that very well. Whereas Amrabat would be more of like a dictator, I think, in possession. So, yeah, I love those work. I would actually be curious to see how, like you said, you'd be curious to see Amrabat. I would actually like to see how that.
Well, I think you have just given the reason why I am a fan of Amrabat, like more of a controller, a dictator, and someone who can like recycle the ball. And I think also like Amrabat, Kondogbia similarities in high ball recoveries, like you said, but now Amrabat is like kind of super good on the ball, unlike Kondogbia. I think one of the things that did not work out for Kondogbia was the fact that he was like on and off. He has this game where he was a defensive monster, and then with the ball he struggled. But there were games, I think I can recall the 20 when he just came, that's him after Atletico parted to Chelsea. And you had the game against Celta where defensively he was, it's like he bossed the midfield. He won the ball. Then when he had the ball, he was so good with it. And I was like, yeah, that's the version of Kondogbia. We saw Valencia. That's the type of version of Kondogbia I would like to see at Atleti. But then you have a guy kind of struggle when before he takes the ball to turn, he kind of kills the Atleti's transitions a bit. So yeah, wishing the best at Marseille under Marcelino, a coach who played his best football. Coming back to the options, well, like for Amrabat, if Atleti signs Amrabat, I'm not really against it because of I believe he can maybe go back to playing a midfield, because there's a comment about Pep on Hoy. Sorry for Onham, excuse me. Højbjerg, please. There's a comment Pep made on Højbjerg when he was at Bayern about similarities to Busquets and the type of midfield that he could be. But since coming to Santos and playing under Pochettino, he kind of had changes in the type of player he was. So we have talked about the potential placement in midfield. Hopefully, Atleti get one of those two guys. But I prefer Amrabat. Sorry. going to the striker position, you have rumors linking Carrasco with a move away. But even if Carrasco leaves, we have Lino and we have Galan. So I'm not that worried, despite the fact that we will miss what Carrasco offered, because I think Cholo kind of knows the best version of Carrasco and how he can impact the team. Talking about Morata, you have he has offers from Saudi Arabia. We have a guy who scored double digits of goals last season, and I, for one, believe he should stay. And we have not mentioned Memphis, despite the fact that he came in last season and we're kind of happy with what he can bring. And like you said, the similarity between Chola and Elotti is how they like their attacking players to associate. And that is something we think we can see with Memphis this season. And Simeone has talked about Memphis' back to goal and the rest. So do you think Alessi should like kind of keep Morata, because Simeone has had conversation with Morata about staying? Do you think Alessi should keep Morata, or they can move on from Morata and then maybe go for someone, meet like a short-term gap and then get someone when they have the funds, or Morata stays?
I think the thing here is that it's an offer from Saudi, which means that, I don't know, I'm not sure about the details if it's out or something, but I think the point is, I don't know if he will get a lot of game time, which might be what he wants. So, Morata, look, he's a player who's always been like at a different club. Every 2 years you check, he's somewhere else, right? So in that sense, I think it's easier for a club to think about moving on from him. I actually like the option of keeping him if he doesn't mind not getting that much game time, because I think he does have like a few goals in them at the end of the day. Last season in bursts, he showed that, right? So if you just want a burst out of him, then why not have him on the bench while you already have him there, right? So I think that's the perspective I have on this, which is, I mean, unless you're going, again, unless if finances permit, you're going for like a somewhat reputed striker, which I don't think is likely, then yeah, sell Morata, right? But I think the stopgap idea, I don't know. I mean, it has worked out for Atleti, obviously. Like, if you think of Luis Suarez, even just as recently as Luis Suarez. But that was Suarez, of course. But yeah, I think you can keep Morata, because I generally like him as a player. And I think across the season, for us, for example, for Real Madrid, off the bench, he gave us a great season. I think it was 2016-17 with Zidane, which was, I think, our best season one of the best seasons in my memory. And because our bench was also really good. And he was kind of a crucial part of that. So, and he always chipped in with goals here and there. So it's just about whether he wants to accept that role or not. At this point in his career, I think that Depay signing has suddenly put that into question. I would play Depay over Morata if I had to put an Atletico 11 out tomorrow. So that is there. So yeah, I mean, but if you're getting somebody to be on the bench and be a backup option, I think it's better to convince Morata, because I do feel like he's got a few goals, like, off the bench.
Well, I think, like you have just mentioned, the main reason why Morata is interested in leaving or has been heavily linked with the move away, because he knows he's kind of second option at the moment, and he will want the move away. And like you said, Atleti will need to go for someone big if they are moving away from Morata, but Atleti don't have the funds to do that, despite the Vlahovic links. And other links like to Wahil, which I think he will be joining the Premier League club. So we have touched on almost everything. And if we go without talking about the man of the hour, the man who everybody's asking what happened to this wonder kid, why did things not work at Atleti? What has happened to him? What is his future? It seems he himself said him and Simeone don't see football the same way. So what's going to happen to him? So we are, the player we're talking about is Joao Felix.
Did he play that game, by the way, the preseason?
No.
Yeah, Felix, right?
Felix did not play the game. He had a knock, so Atleti were kind of cautious with him. But my guess is Atleti have a player who is transferable and they don't want him to pick up a serious injury, which kind of block in a potential transfer away from the club.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
I know what Felix can do. You know what Felix can do. Everybody knows what Felix can do. Everybody watch Atleti's title winning season from August to December and they saw probably, in my opinion, the best player in Europe at that time. And we were like, wow, this is it. Finally, after 2 years, he has come to age. And then in the second half of the season, an ankle injury and he dies away. And then the next season is like war with him and the rest. I think we all know what Felix can do. But I don't see Felix. I tweeted this and I got a little bit of backlash for it, and I'm going to say it on the podcast now. Felix is no Griezmann. When I say Felix is no Griezmann, Felix wants the freedom Griezmann have at Atleti at the moment. Someone who can like control things and the rest. But I don't believe Felix has earned that, because Griezmann has earned that. Not just his performances, but he knows Cholo, wants off the ball. But Felix is kind of sloppy off the ball, even though I believe he can do that. But now, Griezmann kind of elevates the team to the next level with what he does. But I believe Felix is not that type of player like Griezmann who can elevate everybody, but the type of players in which, in a good environment, he kind of elevates himself and he shines, which is something I don't see happening at Atleti at the moment. So my question to you, is there a future for Joao Felix at Atletico Madrid? If yes, then how does he fit in the current setup? If no, what do you think about potential move and where do you think he is going to go?
Yeah, I think one of the worst things that happened in this whole thing was, I mean, I guess it was funny or whatever, but he didn't end up having a good spell at Chelsea. I think if he had scored, let's say, 7 goals or 6 goals or like a couple of assists or something like that, not even that much, right? Maybe even lesser than that. Maybe like his value would not have been questioned, and maybe bigger Premier League clubs would be willing to throw a lot of money your way for him, right? But that didn't go well. Everybody watches the Premier League, everybody watches Chelsea, so I don't know who is that interested in anymore. Aston Villa seems to be the name at this point, but they don't want to pay that much for him. So if Atleti's goal is to recover the funds that they paid for Felix, then I don't really know how that's going to happen. I don't know who's going to pay. Like, what you guys had paid for was like an investment in a wonder kid. But now, what somebody who wants to buy him is paying for is, okay, somebody who was a wonder kid when Atleti bought him, but not much has happened since. And also, he had a really bad spell. That's the latest we know. So, from that sense, I don't think they're recovering what they got for him, but I do think he should be sold, mostly because it's clearly not going to work out between him and, let's say, general style. Like you said, he does sort of slot in where Griezmann does, but with lesser quality for the whole team, in a sense, right? Which is that but Griezmann's one of a kind. That's just what the situation is. And also Felix, when Griezmann wasn't there, could not be that player. I think he is much more of a in-the-box player than maybe he wants to admit. Or maybe, I mean, I don't know, I don't want to say that, but that, I think he belongs a lot more in, let's say, areas where you're making moves which take 2-3 passes and then somebody's in the box and Felix is in the box. That kind of thing he would be good at. And also, I think he can score a few goals as well. So, I think that's what he's better at. But even in that, he doesn't contribute much off the ball. And his temperament, I've just never been happy about that. Like, he just really checks out of games. If he doesn't get the ball, not only will he act visibly frustrated, but his overall interest in the game just really, it goes in and out. And I mean, I don't think that's acceptable if the team's culture is that of Simeone and of Atletico Madrid. So it just doesn't work, not just from that perspective, but it affects the game actually. Like, when some effects of that would be, okay, the next time he gets the ball, he'll just decide not to pass. And he'll just decide, okay, cool, I'm going to try to beat 20 people at the same time. Okay, one time against Cadiz, he beats everyone and he scores two goals. But that was it, right? And apart from that, so many times he loses the ball. So many times he just makes decisions that don't make any sense. So from that perspective, maybe he's better off at a team where generally everybody's keeping the ball and he gets to be on the end of things. I don't know who that team is, and I definitely don't know who the team is that wants to pay that much, if that's what Atleti are asking. But I do think it's time to go. Yeah, like, it was, even financially, it's like a pretty random moment in Atletico's history. Like, oh, what is this huge signing in the middle of all of these, like, smart, okay, South America, you're a legend, random players, oh, great, you're one of the greatest Atletico players, right? But this superstar signing just sort of sticking out, like, not a player Simeone made into, like, somebody great, but someone who was already like that, already very hyped, and then also financially a deal that sticks out. Like, maybe it wasn't meant to be. That's not what should be deciding the decision, of course. But based on even evidence, I would say it's pretty clear that I think it's over, right? So would you agree? I think you would agree, right?
For sure. Because with Felix, I just feel like it was maybe the wrong move, right? The wrong team and the rest, because we all know what Felix can do, like I mentioned. But with him, he just kind of kills everything, like you said, at times with his dribbling. And like you said, Atleti is more of an associated team. And I think one of his best games at Atleti is the game against Ronald Koeman's Barcelona at the Metropolitano, where you kind of have him linking up with Lema, linking up with Trippier and the rest. So that was kind of his best game, where he kind of associated with his teammate. But now the issue is, it seems at Atleti, there's no a tactically good environment for him to be able to showcase his skills. And like you said, his loan spell at Chelsea did not go that well, which is really, really bad for Atleti, because if he went that well and you now have money coming in, and Atleti can take that money to maybe fund some deals. And it seems at the moment, Atleti are struggling financially in the market, because Atleti will, like I said, I wanted Amrabat, but everything indicates Amrabat is going to go to United, because United are the ones who are willing to pay the 30 million, which Florentina asking. Atleti can't do that. So it seems at the moment, things are not going for him his way, and there are a lot of options for him, but they don't look like options which is going to be profitable for Atleti, because Atleti kind of spend a lot of money on the guy. They believe that was the guy who's going to be the guy for the future, the guy who leads the new Atleti project. But well, football is not linear, and it is what it is. So my question to you is, I want to ask you a question on the Felix statement, because you have a player who is under contract at Atletico Madrid. It's true he has an issue with the coach, and it's true that things are not going for him on the pitch at the moment. He goes out and he says Barcelona has always been his dream club, and Barcelona is one of Atleti's rivals. It's true that the rivalry with Barca is not as, let's say, intense as that with Real Madrid, but that's a rival for La Liga, for Atleti, and you are saying that that is your dream club and the rest, while you are under contract at another club. How do you find the statement? Is it disrespectful? Should Felix apologize? Because I, for one, that's kind of disrespectful to the team. Because I cannot be part of a team and I'm saying that this is, because the statement is not just about the fact that Barcelona is a dream club, but he is trying to like force his move away to Barca. So what's your opinion on that statement?
Yeah, I think in some ways that's like sort of the like the final, let's say, move from his end, that okay, my perspective, this is over, right? Which is, I mean, it's not just that he said that about Barca, but it's exactly what he said just now, which is it's overall sort of disrespecting the fact that you want to be in the club that you're currently in. And like he's already stated so many things about, well, I don't think he said necessarily bad things, but he did say a few things about Simeone when he was in England. And so, I don't know, like from his end, the message seems pretty clear. I think Atletico is just waiting for somebody to pay money for him, which I don't think anybody's going to pay. If that's what you're waiting for, then you're just going to have this guy on the books and he's not going to be happy. So, I don't know. I don't see the season starting with Felix still at Atleti. I don't know. I mean, wow, it might just be the craziest like turnaround of all time. What if he just goes in like a couple of games and goes on a run and figures it out? Because it's very simple, I feel, right? Like he just has to, even with Vinicius, we had this problem, I think, last season for a few months, which is, I think the solution was very simple, which is, you're playing with either Ancelotti or Simeone, and what they expect from you on the ball is you give the ball away and you go somewhere and you trust that it'll find you, or you trust that whatever you did was enough to make something happen somewhere. Because, and if every player does that, things usually go well, right? But you can't forget that. So I feel like, yeah, like generally speaking, since he doesn't like the style and all, and especially if his temperament is low, we know how that shows up on the pitch. He sort of gets a little bit more selfish. He dives into tackles. Like, I mean, it's insane. Like, he just sort of goes full-blooded into them and starts fighting with the ref. I saw that so many times last season, I feel. So, yeah, like, this, that's surely, like, the final message from his end. But Atleti can't wait around for someone to pay that much for him, I feel. Like, it will be a loss in the books, yes, but better to take it now because, his contract is not going to get any longer. It's only going to get shorter and his price will only come down. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think at the moment, Alitia is working on some options loan to Galatasaray because or Benfica, because those are the two clubs who are, according to rumors, are showing interest in him, and he says he's not interested in going, let's say, to Aston Villa, according to rumors. So it seems he wants to play the Champions League, and those may be two destinations, maybe on a loan move or and then a fee, which I don't think Gala or Benfica will be able to play because Alitia would definitely want something in the range of 60 million plus, and you cannot have that for this current version of Felix at the moment. So, enough about Felix, and I think we all can agree that come the end of the season, he is not going to be, sorry, come the end of the transfer window, he is not going to be an Atleti player. So, we mentioned holding midfielders, and I kind of forgot an option, a player in which Cholo has been linked with, and that is Guido Rodriguez. So, before we close things up, can you just give your quick opinion on how Guido may fit into Cholo's plans?
Have you guys been linked with? Is like I guess I missed that if that was happening. Like, have you guys been linked with Guido Rodriguez?
Well, we have been linked with him like forever, and with Betis's interest in Rodrigo Riquelme, I would not be surprised if Atleti can work up a formula because Atleti don't really have the funds to match Betis's asking price, which is around them similar fee to Amrabat. So, but Guido has a year left on his contract, so maybe something can work out. Do you think it's possible that he become the GM Atleti wants? Because Cholo is a huge admirer of Guido, someone who keeps it simple, someone who basically does what Colombia was doing, but he's now a little bit better on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So I think, yeah, I tend to think of like Højbjerg a little bit again, like that kind of player. Like, I'm not saying they're the same player, but in that, you know, like he knows his way around the ball and he'll keep it simple, but he'll also offer something off the ball. But again, nothing like what Colombia would, but still. So I think, yeah, I mean, Guido, you're getting someone who's already been in the league. He knows. He has played under Pellegrini for a while. So maybe he's used to enjoying the ball a bit more. But I also have like a small conspiracy theory that Simeone will be playing kind of a little bit kind of possession-based football if he gets whoever this holding midfielder person is. So yeah, if that works out, I don't think Giroud would be a bad option to have because he is pretty good on the ball. And you wouldn't start for better if you weren't. So yeah, I think that would be a pretty good option as well with a year left on contract. Again, like these loan and we'll buy you later type deals are becoming very common too. So, and especially like within Spain, there's a lot of movement. So yeah, I think that's like a pretty decent shout if the primary targets like maybe Amrabat or Højbjerg aren't working out. So, yeah.
Okay, so Vishal, thanks for that. And I hope I need to get someone at the DM, and if it's be it Guido, be it Højbjerg, or Amrabat, which seems unlikely at the moment, wherever it is, hopefully somebody who can improve the team. So Vishal, it was great talking to you. We have covered a lot on Aleti's squad and what we expect players to come in, and also what we expect, maybe how they will fit in tactically. So it's been great having you on the show.
Yeah, it's been great being here talking football with you. Like I was saying earlier, it's like I was looking forward to talking about a lot. And it was great fun, man. I really like it. Thanks.
Well, hopefully we have in future episodes, like for example, Aleti will obviously play Real Madrid, so it would be good to have you before and after, so we can maybe have banter and the rest. But it would be good to have you after when Aleti has won and not when.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say after. See, depending on the result, yeah, but before for sure, dude. I mean, when nothing yet, we can talk all day about what might happen.
Well, so hopefully we have Vishal on the upcoming show because he's a very knowledgeable guy about football in general and also La Liga. As you know, in his Twitter account, La Liga System tweets mostly about La Liga stuff and also stuff he likes. So guys, thanks for listening to today's episode, and remember, nunca deja de creer, never stop believing. See you next time.